You might like to open your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 5. And in our study so far, in our exercise, we are reminded at this point that the Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest, verse 10, 5, 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who has no beginning and no end. He's God, as it were. That is, Melchizedek points in type to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has no beginning. He's not of the Aaronic priesthood that has a beginning and a sequence, and they die. So, in the process, what does a high priest do? A high priest goes and does a wonderful thing for Israel. He goes and brings the Israelites with all of their humanity and littleness and limitedness. He brings them to God. And he answers for all of their limitations and their littleness. And the high priest also brings God in all of his holiness and greatness. He brings God to the Israelites. How do the Israelites handle a God? They don't. The high priest makes it possible for them to exercise that relationship. So A, the high priest brings our humanity to God, our frailty, faultiness. At the same time, he brings God in all of his holiness to our humanity. He's the high priest. He connects them together properly. Otherwise, us humans fumbling all the time and God's holiness, perfection, we'd never get along. We'd never make it. Nope, he's the go-between. He's the one that makes it all happen. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so therefore, we need to understand and appreciate our Lord. That's what the book of Hebrews is about, to get us to understand what God has done for us. God has not only provided a Savior and himself as God, he's provided a way for us to enjoy and to exercise God's person, the relationship. And you can't do it without God's grace, etc. So therefore, we're to understand, and therefore there is the warning, the admonition, to awaken, to pay attention to that relationship that God has provided. How does he provide it? In the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, who represents God and man in his perfect humanity and his perfect deity. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so therefore we shared the warning, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you were dull of hearing. So there's many things to be said, many things, lots of things to be said, but, And to catch that, so you see it, so you appreciate it, maybe. A little child, has only limited exposure to time and humans and experience. And they are learning, they are growing in understanding. And at 3 years old, they are very limited in communicating with the adult, with their father, mother, whatever. They're very limited. They're there, but they're not there. They're not there. And what are we looking for? We're looking for them to grow up. We don't want them to stay 3 years old. We want them to grow up. And when they grow up, what are we looking for? To be able to communicate. I think back, you have all of our family and all of that. To be able, here's my father. And in the process, when I'm 3 years old, I can't do much. And I didn't, I'm sure. So when I became whatever age it was, 110, I began to appreciate him and began to get involved. Wow. My father wanted to be able to tell me about the family. I'm part of the family. I'm 3 years old. I can't enjoy being part of the family. I don't really relate to it. So, but when I come 13, 23, 33, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm growing up. My father wants to share with me. He's physically sick. He has a work problem. There's a government problem. There's all kinds of life's problems. He's facing them. And he wants me to be able to share in his awesome, the adult world in which we are together in it. You got it? That's what God wants. God wants you to grow up so you can share God. God. Opening the Red Sea is awesome. That's just the beginning. You need to be able to share and enjoy and exercise your relationship to God in an awesome way. Have you got that little bit? That's the objective. That's the whole point of the warning. If you don't, you stay 3 years old. And you never get anywhere. So now, therefore, we have many things to say unto you. Now, in order to capture each little thing a little bit anyway, go with me over to John chapter 12, which you know. And eventually, more and more, I say, you know. And we'll keep doing it the little bit we do. Eventually, you do know. You do know. You don't even have to open your Bible. You do know. You do know. We can converse. And think of the advantage. Well, I have that thought and half a thought. Did you ever sit and hear? I did it once. When I was in the hospital and the doctors were doing whatever, they smile and come in, you know. And the two or three little group of them come in. And they're all talking to each other. And they're talking to, and they're smiling, and I'm smiling, you know, whatever, and doing that. Now, and they're talking. I have no idea what they're talking about. They have these words and these phrases, and they nod their head. I don't know what they're doing. They do. They do. I don't. I don't have that understanding. If I had the understanding, or I could tell them to quiet and then come and talk to the three-year-old and help us. But we don't do that always, and it's not always possible at all. It doesn't work that way. So we want to grow in our relationship to God. We want to be growing. There's no sense in saying, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I don't know him. Can I talk to him intelligently? No. I have my prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, etc. I have my prayers, and I hear my reading, but do I know him? Can I talk to him? No. I don't understand. God's dealing with Ukraines and Russia and North Korea and China and America and the White House and dealing with all of these things. And the humans and how the humans are reacting to the Bible, the people going to church, think of mustard seed tonight, and all of those things. But he can't share them with me. But I live in the middle of them, like the three-year-old lives in the middle of a whole group of people, but the three-year-old doesn't understand the group of the people because he's only three. So God wants us to develop Don't be dull of hearing. Grow up so you can communicate intelligently. Therefore, John 16 and in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There's a whole lot. You've got the ABCs, but there's a whole lot more to go. But you can't get them because you haven't advanced. You're dull of hearing. Go over to Mark chapter 4. And this will help you in the morning message, this one. Mark chapter 4. Picking up, please, in verse 33. 4 and 33. And many such parables spake he, the word, unto them, as they were able to hear it, as they're able to hear it. Verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. That's what we're doing with the mustard seed and all of that. He said it's a parable over here. He's going to help you understand it over here. They don't understand mustard seed, wheat and tares. I'm going to help you understand what I'm trying to help you. I'm going to help you understand. I don't help them. They don't understand. That's why it's in parables. And to take it the other direction, go over to 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter and chapter 3. And what we're looking for, seeking to understand, try to have, you want to be an adult. You want to be a believing adult so that you can converse. I can converse with you. You can converse with me, with God. We want to have that. That's what we're looking for. So the church, as we see, is meant to what? To develop that relationship. Therefore, 2 Peter chapter 3, as you might guess, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which, remember we read hard, which are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So where does, think of the mustard seed again and all of that. All of the controversies, all of the issues, this issue, and I believe this, and someone believes that, and about what? Using the Bible, using something in the Bible, about the Bible, about God, using it back and forth. It isn't in context. It isn't correct, but they use it, and they get zealous, depending on what you are, Jehovah's Witnesses or something else, and you're out there driving it, see? But it isn't true. They arrest them because you can't have algebra till you have addition. You can't do it. It just isn't right. You can't read the words if you haven't got the alphabet, etc. And the little books. You, that's how we read. The cat chased the dog, etc. And we read all those words, and that's how we learn. But if you never learn, it's hard to be. They need to understand, but they don't. They don't. All over the place. Now, hang on. That'll help you in the morning, I'm sure, if I can get there. Now, back over, if you would, to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5, picking up, please. In verse 11, whom many things we say, hard to be uttered. They're very hard to be uttered and to speak of them. It's not easy to speak of them. Seeing you are dull. You are dull. You have been dull. The word dull is slothful, sluggish. Have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Lazy, you could say that. And the word slothful means not, N-O-T, and then the verb to run, to leap. Not to leap, not to run. You're dull. You don't move. You're dull of hearing. You aren't using he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. And therefore, since you're dull of hearing, picking up verse 12, seeing you're dull of hearing, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. So here we are, we ought to be teachers. Now remember, teachers, you have need, present tense, you have need that one teach you again to give instruction. In other words, we heard the lesson on the ABCs or whatever we're doing on then, and did you sit through the lesson? Yes. What did you get? Well, I didn't get it. Then you need to hear it again. That's what the Lord will say in Isaiah 28 and that. I have to keep telling you over and over again the same thing. And people would say, and in that, in a good context, not Moody, but anyway, Tory, no. Anyway, you know, why do you keep telling us we need to be born again? Because you what? You need to be born again. Until you're born again, what's the sense of me telling you something else? You need to be born again. But I'm not. Then I'm going to tell you again, you need to be born again. See? Now, so therefore, in verse 12, we have in time you ought to be teachers. And so all of us ought to be teachers. In other words, when we become adult, which you're going to pick up in a minute, when you do that, you're going to know, do you know how to read? Then can't you help somebody else read? Can you add count? Can't you count somebody else? Can't you help them to count, to read, to count, to whatever you're doing? Can't you help them? So we're all able to communicate, and we're supposed to be able to help each other. And grow to know what we know, and to grow into what we know. Now, having said that, the first principles, the first oracles, the first sayings, the first utterance, Israel was blessed. You don't have to turn there in Romans 3 and 2. You don't have to turn there. What was Israel blessed with? They had the oracles. They had the oracle, the teaching of God. That's what they had. The Philistines didn't have it, and the Midianites didn't have it. No, the Philistines had this wonderful, I mean the Israelites had this unique relationship that God gave them from Mount Sinai, etc. So they have all of this, and verse 12, for when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. So we have to go and learn again. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, just to maybe you've had that exercise, maybe you haven't. Do you know, 50 years ago, easily, we told you about Romans 6 and all of those wonderful truths, all those truths, 50 years ago. We could do that this morning, and the light will come on, and you heard it 50 years ago, but it never sunk in, never connected, and all of a sudden it hits. You ever had that happen? You wake up and say, boy, why didn't I understand that? I took calculus at UCLA and University of Southern California, and all of those things, and in the process, and I did it out in the East Coast, and then I did it in the West Coast, and I probably should have gone to China where they really work at it. Anyway, in the process of all of that, and the professor was there, and I could do it, you know, I come up with the answer. Yeah. So I followed the formula, but he explained it in such a way, I said to, and I remember saying it, I said in the class looking, I said, why didn't I ever understand that of how it's, what is calculus doing and why is it doing it? I said, boy, I wish I understood that. I've been able to do it mechanically. I can do it. But I didn't understand it. Understanding such a difference, you see. Now, so therefore, you have need that one teach you again the first principles, the ABCs. There's nothing wrong with learning the ABCs. There's nothing wrong with the, I have, if it helps you, in a, I don't know whether you appreciate it or not, but I have a little book like this, so big. It's a word book, full of words. It's 100 years old. I still use it. It's literally 100 years old. 99 something years old. And I still use it. I use it every day when I, for what? How do you spell cat? I gotta look at it. You see? That's what it does. It doesn't have new words. It has all the words back then. Most of the words, most of the language. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind doing that at all. Nothing wrong with it. I might have known how to spell cat one day, but I forgot. Don't you forget things? You forget things. And you don't use them for 100 years, and then hey. So therefore, looking at the first principles and learning them, Israel was at Mount Sinai, and they were exposed directly to God, God's word. They had straightway from the teacher of all teachers, the Spirit of God. God gave them straightway his wonderful truths. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, etc. And you don't need to be a genius to understand that. You just had, because gods are all around us, the Egyptians and all of it. So he gave them the Ten Commandments. Wonderful, wonderful. They had to go and exercise the Ten Commandments to get the benefit of it. There's no sense in giving you the lesson if you don't exercise the lesson in order to learn. So here come the elements, the ABC, Mount Sinai, and they needed to have a heart, and that was the problem. They didn't have a heart. So in chapter 5, verse 12, the end of verse 11, they're dull of hearing. What's their problem? They're dull of hearing. That's what they are. They aren't hearing. They need to be hearing. And so therefore, in the light of that, Mount Sinai, and here they are in the wilderness, and they spend all that 40 years in the wilderness, as it were, and they are able to be under the direct exposure to God's wonderful person and God's wonderful work. And so as they're there, and they have that, and they have that for 40 years. You would think you would get something, but they didn't. And part of the problem, they didn't have an ear to hear. So here, besides that, God gave them the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments, and he put them in the ark, right in, how far away was the written word of God back then in the ark? It was right in front, in the middle of them. And so it isn't that they didn't have the information. They had the information, and they needed to exercise it. So as we think about that, here's the believer. The believer comes to know the Lord as their Savior, and that's a wonderful thing. And in the process, we ought to grow up, etc. And in saying and doing that, keeping that in mind. So here's God's word again, and keeping in mind, think if you would, children, little babies. Now, here's a little baby, and here's an adult. As a person, the person inside of them, soul and spirit, are they the same? They're the same. What's the difference between them? Nothing except time. That's all. Nothing between them. They're the same. What do they need? They need time to grow, to learn. Otherwise, they're the same. The little boy or girl is the same as I am and you are. They're not more or less. The difference between us is that we have lived longer and understand by exercise, by being alive on planet Earth, that which they don't. And therefore, we have the advantage over them. So therefore, their birth, their breathing, their being, their belonging, their becoming, all of those wonderful, wonderful things that are there, that God gives us, they're there, but they have to be learned. They have to be experienced. You have to grow up. That's what you have to do. So over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, you would remember, if I can, Ephesians, picking up, please, in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And you would note, I'll start even go at the top. Verse 12. Ascend, what are we doing sitting here? For the perfecting, for the completion, for the fulfillment, fullness of the saints, the perfecting of the saint. That's a personal thing. For the saints to be perfected, to be completed, for the work, not only to be, are they to be fit, that for they're able to be grow up in order to do the work of the ministry, the service, to be able to serve God. And thirdly, for the edifying, for the building up of the body, which is what we're sitting here for. So, A, I'm supposed to be personally learning something and developing. B, the more I learn and develop, the more I'm involved. I'm not dull of hearing, I'm involved. I'm involved in intelligently in what we're trying to do. Here we say something about this, and you want to say, that's right. Like the two, remember the doctors talking to each other? The doctors are talking, they know what they're doing. They don't have to explain everything, because they're all on the same page. So when we say something and say, that's true, you can amen it. Amen, I got it. So we're working, we're conversing, we're developing. I'll tell you something wonderful, and you know it, and we exercise it. So therefore, verse 13, the result, what are we looking for? Till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith, the body of truth, that is to be believed, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete fullness, perfect man, a full grown-up, unto the measure. How much grown-up are we going to be? How grown-up are we going to be? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we're in the process of growing. Now, so when do you quit growing? You see, we aren't talking about physical, talking about normal. When do we quit growing? Well, we quit growing, whatever, and then we start deteriorating, shrinking, and all of that stuff. And we do all that. It's part of the process. But in all of that having to take place, our growing inside, renewed day by day, growing, changing, is what? We're growing up to be like him. And until we're taken up by God at the rapture, we won't be totally there. But at that moment, God will finish what he started here. He that hath begun, Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you, starts it, rapture, finishes it. In the meantime, have you been growing? Growing. Therefore, verse 14, that henceforth, why are you saying verse 12 and verse 13? That henceforth, verse 14, you be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, playing dice, like playing dice with your life. A sleight of men, a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we want to grow up. If we don't grow up, we stay 3 years old, as it were, and three-year-olds are able to be led down the corridor of time in a very bad way. And a world, simplicity, in the wrong way, they don't understand. And the world is being what? Carried along, isn't it? Is communism, socialism, Marxism in Washington and Great Reset and all of those things. All of those things are taking place. And what we're being carried along. If we don't understand the subject, then we get carried along with it. We don't know it. We don't know where they're going. They know where they're going. And we're being taken there. Now, and when the reality wakes up that we're taken there, wow. Now, so therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, in Ephesians 4, verse 15, therefore what? But speaking the truth in love may grow into him. What did I leave out? Up. Not just to grow 10 feet tall, 20 feet tall. To grow up. To grow up. To grow up in understanding. To develop. To develop your mind, your thought, your understanding. So you're a wonderful asset, benefit in relationship to God, because he enjoys talking with you, working with you. So we can move you in your mind, and your mind's going to stay right where he's going. Now, so therefore, to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, we're going to be able to understand Christ, the head, the body, understands the head, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And to do so and to exercise that relationship. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, it is quite natural and normal when you are born, you don't get strong meat. When you're born, you don't get any meat. You don't get any solid food. No, the only thing you get is mother's milk, etc. That's all you get. That's all you get. Is there anything better? No. What do you need? Strong meat comes from cows and chickens and everything else. But you got to have a system working, digestive, your immune system, able to take and battle bacteria, good and bad, and all the stuff coming in. And it filters and it fights and it takes the nice, what kind of steak? Filet mignon or something. And you take that steak and it tastes good, and it tastes good, and it goes down, and your stomach plays with it and does whatever with it. And if it doesn't like it, it does something and gets rid of something. It does wonderful things. That's because you're adult. But the little baby doesn't have that. The little baby needs solid life. Watch it, you know it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes. There's your word. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. That's how we come into the world. You have to be a baby. Desire the sincere. The word sincere is pure, pure, unadulterated, pure, the pure milk of the word. That what's the purpose to it? That you may grow thereby. That's why you get that. You can't have the other. You need the mother's life milk. The elephant gets the elephant's milk. And the canary gets, I don't know about canary, but how they do that, how they do. But anyway, the cat gets the milk and the dog gets the milk and the humans get the milk, because that's how you have to start off. You have to start off that way. You get pure. In order that your system can develop, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, purity. And that's what and you try to take what you can and do it, and you won't understand. You aren't going to understand, like we read in 2 Peter 3, 16. Paul has uttered very things. You got to have some preparation in language, in mathematics, in order to understand, because he isn't talking ABCs. He's talking the use of ABCs, And therefore, we got to grow. We got to learn. We got to grow. But as newborn babes, there's nothing wrong with that. We have to grow and grow and grow and develop. It's a wonderful thing. And we do it. And it is required. Therefore, back over to Hebrews 5. And in Hebrews 5, God's milk, the milk of the Word of God, in a most, most wonderful way. Now, keep in mind, in the getting all of that, I'm going to look at it from time. How many years, how many days, how much time do we need to grow if we're going to stay healthy? Are we really having to learn? So, in order to pick that up, go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. And remember, this is the church in Thessalonica. That's in northern Greece. Corinth is in southern Greece. Thessalonica is in northern Greece, up there. And there are lots of persecution. You don't read of persecution too much in the Corinth, south. But up there, they're getting it. They're getting it, persecution, like in Jerusalem. So therefore, interesting, I'm asking myself my question. I want to grow. So how many years does it take me to grow up? If I'm 3, do I have to be 53? Do I have to be 63? Whatever. So therefore, chapter 17. And now when he had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, three Sabbath days, that's three Lord Saturdays, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So, that's three. Now, it's unknown. That would take 3 weeks. So, some would say, well, then Paul spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica. But then you got to add the other pieces always to help. And what do we know? Well, Paul worked there, Acts 17, verse 11. In the process, you have to go and work at it. And Paul worked at it. He worked. That's what he did. He made a tent maker and all that. And he did that while he was there. Plus, he spent time with the Gentiles. So having spent all of that time with the Gentiles, so we know he spent more than 3 weeks, could have spent 3 months. We don't actually have a given time, but not too long, not too long. And in the process, they were to go and learn. He spent time with them, and Thessalonians, you'll have to turn there, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, what is he going to say to them? What's their big thing? They're full of faith, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. They're full of faith. All of Asia Minor up there in the north know, boy, this is a believing group of believers. These believers in Thessalonica are for real. They're for real. And they know that. And they know that. And, same chapter 1, they're looking, they turn from idols, and are waiting for the Lord's return. So as you read 1 Thessalonians, and then shortly thereafter 2 Thessalonians, boy, do they have a lot going for them. They understand the Lord's return. They're understanding a whole lot of things. So it wasn't very long that they learned all this. How long do you have to be a Christian before you understand the Lord's coming, you see? How long do you have to wait? How many years do you have to wait before you see that truth, you see? You should see that truth very fast If you're growing and learning, you should see the truth. Wow. Now, having said that, hanging on to that, I want you to compare that. That's so it's reasonable. You don't have to take 10 years to grow up. We may have to take 10 years physically, but spiritually you don't have to take 10 years for many reasons. Now, therefore, in that same context, he went 35 miles south of Thessalonica approximately to Berea, and he went down south. So therefore, what did he find when he went to Berea? And chapter 17, verse 11. These are more noble than those of Thessalonica. How so? In Thessalonica, 3 weeks in the synagogue, all the rest of the time, as far as we know, is with the Gentiles, etc., doing all of those wonderful things. But when he went to Berea, what did he find among those people? They received, verse 11, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. The Thessalonians didn't. We have no record. They did that. But it was so marked a difference going to the Thessalonians and saying it again and again. But they did get it. And not in 3 years, in 3 months maybe. They got all of this wonderful truth going for them. He went to Berea and then, boom, he said something. And they turned the pages and said, let's see it, Paul. Let's see what it says. What are we trying to do each time? We're trying to see what it says. Otherwise, I can say, mumble something. It may be right or wrong. I can mumble something. Do you know why it says that? Do you know why it's 3 weeks, why it's not 3 weeks, etc.? You have to have some help. Otherwise, you can't verify anything. What was more noble, more wonderful about the people in Berea? They searched the scriptures. That's why you got your Bible open, I hope. That's what you do. Why do you turn the pages? Why do we do it? Some don't do it. They just talk and have a story. I don't have any stories, and I don't have any jokes. So if you ever ask me for a joke, I don't know one, okay? I just never paid attention to jokes. You know, life's funny enough without anything, adding anything else to it. So in the process, they just search the scriptures. That's what you want to know. Otherwise, you can't back it up. I can't give you 25 reasons. I might sometime. But you don't want to sit through 25 reasons. So in this kind of session, I give you 1, 2, 3, at least enough to lock on to what it's saying. You see? Do you understand that? That's what we're doing. And you say, well, I don't like the way he does. That's fine. I'm trying to help you understand. So you walk out of here, do you know why it says that? Because you got to back it up. The Berea people in Berea, they said, let's see if it says that. Let's see if it says that. And they believed. Wow. So God, here's God doing a wonderful, wonderful thing in God's wonderful way. So the Jewish people, spent 3 1/3 years with our Lord. And they had a wonderful, wonderful exposure, as we're going to see in the morning, if we make it that far. And so they were to go and have milk and back over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 5. And in Hebrews in chapter 5, picking up again, I'll read the verse. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, all over again. Even the first principles, the ABCs, of the oracles, the general truths of God's word, the ABCs of all of God's truth, wonderful truth, thou shalt have no other gods before me in Exodus, and then all the truth that goes with that. And the end of verse 12, first oracles of God, and I become need, and have such as come need of milk, and not strong meat, a solid food. Why? Because milk you can handle. Milk is pure. Milk, that's a, you don't get, you don't have a problem. Oh, I don't know how to spell that. Go back. The A, A, B, C. You practice writing A, you practice writing B, you practice writing C. Those are basics. They don't go away. They stay right with you. And they're there. So they have need of milk. I need to go back to the basics, back to the pure. I want to get established, like in Thessalonica, Berea, etc. I want to get established. And milk, nothing wrong with milk. It's just when you're, all you can have is milk is not good. Not good because everything in your life that you hear in the news, in your own mind, in your own heart, how much of what you hear, think, and understand is pure? Does that come out all right? How much of what you think and understand is pure? Pure, like milk. And therefore, the milk prepares you for what? The solid food that comes every day into your head and heart out here. And it comes into your head and heart. It isn't pure by any means. But boy, you need to understand it because you live in that kind of world, that kind of society that's thinking in that kind of way. So therefore you need to understand it. So therefore, you need milk, not strong meat, in the process, and for your understanding. Now, having said that, in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, the quality, the right things, but he is a babe. There's nothing wrong with milk. You don't want to stay a baby because you can't be, keep living, say, I believe in John 3:16, and I need to understand, I got to have the basics, purity, truth, God clearly understood, and I'm resting in it. Say it another way. I'm resting in my state of good health. I'm resting in my state of eternal life. I'm resting in my state of knowing God. That's pure, solid. Now, with that, resting on that, I can now tackle out here. I can now tackle the strong meat. Do you understand? But if I haven't got the milk, I haven't got that simplicity, that singleness of heart, I don't have that in my head. So therefore, I listen to this, I do this, this is how I do, you know, that's what we do. And we don't have a base, a foundation on which to rest, on which to stand, on which to work, on which to build. Now, so therefore, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in verse 13, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. And righteousness, we need to understand that wonderful quality. There's no the, so it's quality. Right, general righteousness. I just need to understand what's right. What's right. Otherwise, I'm a babe. I'm mature. I'm not growing. And I need to understand. So, putting that together, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And you will note there's nothing but babies again. Matthew chapter 11 I'm picking up, please, in verse 25. Our Lord, remember, now this is all the Jewish people as a nation are rejecting him, Galilee, etc. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. You need to know the truth will make you free, and reveal them unto babes, babies. That's what I did. Why? Babies desire the sincere milk of the word. It's the foundation. It's the foundation for our physical makeup in order to be able to develop mentally and spiritually. And we have to have that base, that base. I thank you, God, that you didn't throw us into the wolves. You let the baby elephant hang around the big elephant for a while to get big enough to be able to go and pull down its own tree and do whatever, you see. Wow. Wait, let it get big enough. So God, you want us to what? To be able. I thank you. So what are Thessalonians? That's only what? A short time, 3 years, 3 months, whatever, not 3 years. And in the process, they have the basics so that they can handle the Second Thessalonians, the Lord isn't coming, we're in the tribulation, like the Catholics we deal with the mustard seed in that. We're the kingdom of God, and it just has to be expressed out of us. The Pope is going to bring about the kingdom. He has to fix Rome first. Anyway, so now, having said that little bit, and having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Hebrews, and I have to quit anyway, but I hope you're getting a little bit, trying to help you understand, you got to grow. You don't want to grow, you won't know. That's all. Don't know. So I have a conversation. I can't do, you have one with me, you forget us, I guess. Whatever. We don't talk about very much. What do you understand? I don't understand. Oh, what's interesting that's happening? Oh, well, I don't know. Well, then you don't talk about it. Why are people like they are? Why are we headed down where we are? I don't know. And wouldn't you want to talk basic truth? You know, understand. Wow. So now, that's the mustard seed and all of that we're doing. So now, chapter 5 again. And strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age. Full age, they've grown up. And therefore, God, you have to help us get there, inch by inch. We don't want to be a spiritual infant. We want to grow up. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to have that. So while I go to church and we sing and we do whatever, and I leave. What did you learn? What did you learn? How much more do you understand of the basics, of the pure milk, of the truth that helps you understand what? The strong meat that's going to come. You have to understand what God has said in order to tackle what is happening in the world and in your own life, your own nature, etc. Anyway, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.